It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 299. Quantum, a podcast that looks at news and views from throughout the world. We do it from a Christian perspective, but we are open to all. And once again, thank you for all the feedback and comments. Some of those will come later, but we are going to look at something that's going on in Scotland in the small city of Perth. I've yet to go to the big city of Perth here in Australia, but this is an astonishing story. So in Scotland, the land of the Enlightenment and the Reformation, the land of learning and science, the government, the local council, are giving us an exhibition. Well, they've redone the Perth Museum. And my Aunt Helen went to it. She was there for a reason. She was invited as a kind of preview. And by the way, shout out to Aunt Helen for putting me onto this. She sent me some photos of it, so I know that this is for real. But amongst other things in this museum, this is what's being said. The River Tay has always been Perth's main artery, shaping the land, providing food resources, and acting as a portal to the supernatural world. Wow. Here we have a government institution, a government building, telling us that a river is a portal to the supernatural world. I mean, I lived for many years beside the River Tay. I just didn't know it was, you could go through the wardrobe or through the looking glass. And there's lots of other stuff. I mean, it demonizes Christianity and lies about him. They say Knox became an icon, John Knox, and objects associated with him became almost relic-like. Talks about almost like turning into a cult. Look, nobody who knows their history could write such nonsense, but they're not concerned about history, are they? When one of the staff was questioned about this, said, well, and why haven't you got enough about Christianity, very little about Christianity, and Perth was the centre of the Scottish Reformation, they said this, that was in the past, this is now, you've had 2,000 years to showcase Christianity. This is about the rewriting of Christianity. As Orwell said, those in power can do that. By the way, they've also got the new religion. They've got a whole gallery devoted to the unicorn, which they say, I mean, the unicorn was kind of a symbol for Scotland. And one of the reasons it was chosen was because of its masculinity. Oh, no, that's not anymore. Now, the unicorn is there because it's a modern symbol of the LGBTQI+ community. Astonishing. This is funded by millions of pounds of government money. And lots of school kids will be going there and they'll be indoctrinated into this ideology. Well, we face a battle in Scotland, as we face in the rest of the Christian world, to preserve, not just to preserve, but to increase our Christian foundations. And what I've been doing these past few podcasts this year is going through my top 100 songs on Spotify from last year. And at number 41 is this from the Scottish band Woolstone, and it's called Battle. Enjoy a little of this. let me say with Scotland, depressing this is, wood-burning stoves are banned, are being banned in new buildings in Scotland. Wood-burning stoves. Again, this is all done supposedly to save the environment. It won't, but that doesn't matter. I think of my mother up in the Scottish Highlands with her wood-burning stove, which basically keeps her alive. Patrick Harvey and the Greens, you have no concern for the environment. Oh. We mentioned the Scottish hate crime laws, which really are quite spectacular. and in the first week, Scottish police have received 7,152 complaints under the new law, with only 240 hate crimes being recorded. And if you want to see the madness of what is currently going on in Scotland, two other items of news. One is that Stuart Hosey, who is an SNP MP but is resigning, I think, in danger of losing his seat, used to be Dundee East. He has now been put in charge by Humza Yousaf of running the SNP's general election campaign, and we're supposed to trust him. This is Mr. Hosey, who is part of a threesome, or at least a love triangle with, there was another MP and a journalist. And Stuart Hosey was married to Seán Robeson, Nicola Sturgeon's friend and a government minister in the Scottish Parliament. It's also incestuous, all of this. And he ended up having his credit card, parliamentary credit card, suspended. What does it matter? He's to be trusted with putting forward the SNP's message. And then in case you're wondering, and I'm sure you're all interested in the great Dundee FC, their match against Rangers was cancelled again because of flooding. And I just love what the Dundee spokesperson said. Well, it's because of climate change. Yep. Blame climate change for everything. All right. An astonishing thing that happened in the UK as well, and a wonderful thing, is the CAS report. Now, here in Australia, you wouldn't even know that it had happened because, strangely enough, the ABC and others haven't covered it. But the CAS report is a major report, 4 years going, in where Dr. Hilary CAS published her report as part of the Independent Review of Gender Identity Services for Children and Young People. And it is devastating. Now, incidentally, if I go back to Scotland, Maggie Chapman, the Green spokesperson on this, wanted kids as young as eight to be allowed to change legal sex and attack school biology books for claiming sex is binary. This is the new religion, as we said. And she's, of course, bitterly attacked this report as being transphobic. Never mind the evidence. There is no evidence, says the report, that puberty blockers buy time to think and some concern that they may change the trajectory of psychosocial and gender identity development. Again, quoting from the report, the medicalization of children who might simply have been distressed by the idea of puberty and growing up is a scandal of epic proportions. A scandal of epic proportions. When families, carers are making decisions about social transition of pre-pubertal children, services should ensure they can be seen as early as possible by a clinical professional with relevant experience. And relevant experience isn't a kid on the internet or an influencer on the internet saying, well, you were born in the wrong body. It's finally, I mean, J.K. Rowling, again, of course, has been wonderful in this. And we shall see whether more regressive countries like Australia actually catch up with what is going on. Okay, let's go to our country of the week. This is one of the most beautiful national anthems for an extraordinarily beautiful country. I wonder if you know what it is.
Thank you.
That is the Hungarian national anthem. It's actually called Hymn. I love the lyrics, God bless with joy and bounty. And this incredible line, this people has suffered for sins of the past and future. Now, Hungary, I'm sure you know, is a landlocked country in the middle of Europe. 93,000 square kilometres, which is basically about the size of Scotland, with almost double the population, 10 million people. 88% claim to be Christian, 3% evangelical. It's not part of the euro, it has its own currency, the forint. Capital, of course, is Budapest, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I've been to Hungary a couple of times and absolutely loved it. It's governed by Viktor Orban, and of course the EU establishment want rid of him. You'll constantly find him being slated as uber right-wing. I'm struggling to see a lot of that, to be honest. But the reason I chose Hungary this week is there was a fascinating article in The Spectator. And as usual, all the articles that I use are on the website, www.theweeflea.com. But it was just talking about the composer Gyorgy Ligeti, who's now had a road named after him. And this article is talking about how on Hungary's state TV, they were filming this, and they put it out on the equivalent of BBC One. Hungary takes its culture and its classical music really seriously. It also takes its families really seriously. It takes its traditions really seriously. And for that, it is absolutely slated. In that sense, Hungary is the opposite of the UK, or I was going to say, no, the Scottish government, really. I recommend you do read the article. And if you do get a chance, visit Hungary. And I know that there are some people who listen to this from Hungary. So please do get in touch if you've got any news about your country. Okay, we're going to go on to one of the elections that is going on just now. I think we said that there were 60 major elections in the world this year. I wonder from this piece of music if you can guess who it is. I'd be astonished if you could, but maybe you're more up to date than I think. That's Booker T, Green Onions, and we're talking about the South Korean election. What does that have to do with green onions? Well, the president, Mr. Yoon, went to a Seoul grocery store where he commented that a bundle of green onions priced at 875 won, which is about 65 cents, was reasonable, when in reality, it was at a huge discount and would normally be priced between 3,000 and 4,000 won. Now, this actually affected the election campaign. Farmers organized sit-in protests with bundles of green onions. The vegetable appeared at the opposition party's election rallies. Well, at the time of recording, the results are just coming through, and the exit poll suggests that President Yoon, it's not an election for him, it's an election for the assembly, but his party are going to be hammered, which is really quite a surprise. They were expected to lose, but only narrowly. The Democratic Party, the opposition, are projected to win up to 197 seats in the 300-seat chamber. And Yoon's party, between 85 to 100 seats, which is really quite astonishing. There's a splinter party called Rebuilding Korea, which is forecast to secure 12 to 14 votes. Now, Korea is an amazing country. It's a wonderful country. There are lots of issues concerning Korea, not least its rapidly disintegrating birth rate, which is going to result in depopulation, and of course, the continued threat of war with North Korea, and its use of technology and its wealth, and also, of course, the church in South Korea as well, which we'll do at another time. But fascinating what's going on there. Let's go across the world to Brazil, where Michael Schellenberger, whose reports I regularly read, gave out a report about X or Twitter. And this is astounding. And I've tried to look at this, and I think this is true. I mean, Schellenberger usually is pretty careful in his investigations. But the Brazilian court, Supreme Court, wanted Twitter to block certain popular accounts. Now, Elon Musk eventually said, no, we won't. And as a result, it seems that X won't be allowed to be broadcast or used in Brazil, which is astonishing. Now, what's happening is Lula da Silva is pushing towards totalitarianism, the same as in Scotland with Humza Yousaf. Government funding of mainstream corporate news media then results, which he's increased a lot, that results in increased censorship. And it seems as though the Supreme Court, especially a judge called Moraes, is determined to limit free speech on political grounds within Brazil. Astonishing. You know, it's funny, in Canada, in Scotland, in many Western countries, and I suspect it may come to America as well, that in the name of preserving democracy, they seek to limit. The EU does the same thing. It's not logical, which leads me to my number 42 song, which is this from Supertramp. Now, speaking of censorship, let's come to Australia, where Doug Murray was here for a while. I didn't get to see him. But again, there's a fascinating article in The Spectator, which talks about having to go or going to the Enmore Theatre in Sydney and being searched and protesters outside and so on. And basically, this article points out that people do not want people who have a contrary opinion to even be able to speak. It takes bravery, the article says, now to buy a ticket and run the gauntlet of the mob. And it is a mob. Speaking of censorship, let's go to France, where a French government official has called for the prosecution of a Roman Catholic priest over a video he posted to social media describing homosexual inclinations as a weakness that must be fought like any other sin. Well, I would say the same. Maybe Humza would have me prosecuted in Scotland. Father Mathieu Raffray, age 45, posted this video to his more than 60,000 Instagram followers. We all have weaknesses, he said. Those who are greedy, those who are angry, those who have homosexual tendencies. And so Aurore Breger, 37-year-old politician, has said that these comments are unacceptable. He was being reported to get, guess what, the Interministerial Delegation for the Fight Against Racism, Anti-Semitism and Anti-LGBT Hatred, DICRA, apparently, to be prosecuted under Article 40 of the French Penal Code. Well, well, well. I tell you what, time for another of my top 100. This is another Delamitri song. Brilliant song. Stone cold sober. Caught in the headlights. Locked in dogfights. Lost in disbelief. Yep, that's where so much of the Western world is going. Locked in dogfights. Lost in disbelief. Thinking of themselves as infidels and pop stars. While the bomb loses patience. Okay, and to follow up on the episodes I did on Islam, here's just something from Bristol Cathedral. Yeah, that is Bristol Cathedral holding an Islamic service. An Islamic service which, by the way, says that those who believe in the Trinity are blasphemers. Wow. Read a survey this week that said only 1 in 4 British Muslims believe that Hamas committed murder and rape in Israel on October the 7th. More than half of British Muslims want to make it illegal to show a picture of the Prophet Muhammad, and a third of British Muslims want to see Sharia law implemented in the UK. Younger and well-educated Muslims were the most likely to think Hamas did not commit atrocities on October the 7th, which 40% amongst the university-educated, which goes to show you how well-educated no longer means well-educated. Meanwhile, there's been a fascinating documentary by an Italian news program which has shown the inroads made by radical Islam in Italy. And again, worth seeing the whole thing. But to give you some idea, in a mosque near Milan, a Muslim man tells the news team, it is written in the Quran that we're going to kick the Jews out. The man then goes on to say, the first place will be Italy because Italy is very close to Islam because Italy has a good heart. Just look at the churches, a few elderly people here and there, five here, five there, says this young Muslim immigrant. The Islamic scholar, Sheikh Yusuf al-Kardawi, I think is how you pronounce his name, who's a media celebrity, chairman of the International Union of Muslim Scholars, said that when Muhammad was asked which city would be conquered first, Rome or Constantinople, he said the city of Constantinople will be conquered first. He then went on to say that Rome will be conquered, this scholar. Rome will be conquered, Europe will be occupied, the Christians will be defeated, and the Muslims will grow in number and become a force which will control the whole of the European continent. Yeah. And if you don't believe that, consider this fact. And again, Humza would call this Islamophobic. But there are 6,000 mosques under construction at the moment in Europe. 6,000. You really think the European way of life is not under threat? All right, I'll tell you, one of the ways that this has been advocated, and one of the reasons that we've got all these demonstrations is because of so many Muslims in European countries. But Gaza. I keep being asked about Gaza. This is probably the best summary, and it's a little bit lengthy, but stick with it. This is Coleman Hughes answering Joe Rogan. And what's fascinating about it is Joe Rogan starts off, as you will hear, making the oft-asserted claim about genocide. And after this very short conversation, he admits that he probably got it wrong. Listen to this.
You're killing 30,000 innocent civilians in response to something that killed 1,200 innocent civilians, and you're continuing to bomb an area into oblivion. Mm. That is at least the steps of genocide or a form of genocide.
So when you say 30,000 civilians, it's not 30,000 civilians that have been killed, though.
How many thousands have been killed?
So according to Gaza Health Ministry, which mm-hmm. is run by Hamas, the number they have is 32,000, but they don't distinguish between Hamas and civilians.
How many members of Hamas are there?
40,000, something like that. I don't think the number is known, but it's tens of thousands. So Hamas says 32,000 people have been killed, mm-hmm. civilians and soldiers. Israel says 13,000 soldiers have been killed by Israel. So let's not doubt either number. They could both be inflated. But if both of those numbers are accurate, which they may or may not be, that would be 13,000 soldiers killed, 19,000 civilians killed, which for urban combat in the Middle East is a very normal ratio. It's very distinct from genocide, because genocide is when you're trying to maximize civilian casualties. I think Israel, however imperfectly, is doing the opposite. They're trying to minimize civilian casualties.
That's interesting.
This is the way I would put it succinctly. If you ask the question, what is unique about this war? What is different about this war than all other wars? It's not the civilian death toll. The ratio of combatants to civilians is, I think it's better than the American armies was when we got ISIS out of Mosul. That was like 10,000 civilians dead to kill 4,000 ISIS. This is 19,000 civilians dead to kill 13,000. What's unique about this war, unlike every other war that I could think of, is you have an army in Hamas that has perfected the art of embedding itself and meshing itself with civilians so that you cannot hit them without hitting the people around them. Other armies have done this, but none have perfected it to the extent that Hamas has. And yes, I agree with all of the absolute tragedy and suffering of the Palestinian people, but what creates that is the way Hamas fights. And either we can say one of two things. We can either say Israel doesn't have a clean shot and they have to let Hamas get away with it because it's too much to bear. But then we are essentially creating a situation where terrorists have found the perfect solution, which is that you can cross the border, go house to house slaughtering your enemies, and then hide behind your own people and they can do nothing about it. It's a perfect strategy. Can we live in a world where we allow that to be an acceptable strategy? I don't think so. And it's very ugly to watch. It's heartbreaking, and I completely understand why people don't think the way I think when they see the videos. I completely get it. But I don't think we can actually live in a world where that's allowed to be a strategy.
I appreciate your perspective. I see what you're saying. You clearly know more about it than I do.
I think that's a great example of intellectual honesty, and I think it is true about the embedding civilians and so on. Well, last week after we spoke about Gaza, we played some back. This week we're going to play it again, another piece of my favorite music, Bach's Violin Concerto in A minor. I long for the day when that's the sound that will be heard in Gaza and not the sound of bombs. All right, The world's oldest man has passed away just 1 month short of his 115th, that would be something, 115th birthday. Juan Vicente Perez from Venezuela. He was asked before he died, what's your secret for longevity? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, drink a glass of aguardiente, a sugar-based liquor, every day, love God, and always carrying him in your heart. Wonderful. Apparently, the oldest man is now only 111 years old, and it's an Englishman called John Tinniswood. I love this story. Sorry, this is going to be a little bit longer than usual, but I couldn't leave this one out. Botswana, sorry, I shouldn't laugh, has threatened to send 20,000 elephants to Germany over a row about conservation, because Germany's environment ministry suggested there should be stricter limits on importing trophies from hunting animals. Botswana's President Mogtswetsi Masisi, oh, I'm not having much fun with names, am I just now, said, you should come and live with the animals the way you're trying to tell us to, because Botswana has a third of the elephants in the world, 130,000 roaming. He says they're causing damage to property, eating crops, trampling residents. And they've given Angola 8,000, they've offered hundreds more to Mozambique, and they said to Germany, you're so interested, you have them. Apparently, they also said the same to London. Botswana's wildlife minister said, in some areas, there are more of these beasts than people. They are killing children who get in their path. They trample and eat farmers' crop, leaving Africans hungry. But again, typical European arrogance. Do the same over climate change and other things. We just don't care about people. We care about image. All right. I want to play a little bit of this and then just give you our seek passage for the week. This is Nick Cave.
I don't believe in an interventionist God. But I know, darling, that you do. But if I did, I would kneel down and ask him. Not to intervene when it came to you. Well, not to touch a hair in your head, leave you as you are. If he felt he had to direct you, then direct you into my arms. Into my arms, oh Lord, into my arms. Oh Lord, into my arms. Oh Lord, into my arms. And I don't believe in the existence of angels.
Into your arms. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. That beginning, I don't believe in an interventionist God, but I know, darling, that you do. I think Cave has changed his mind on that, by the way. But the reason I mention it in terms of seek is that's really a song about death. And question 30 in seek, the one this week, is where do you go when you die? What's it like to be dead? And again, because of time, I'm not going to repeat everything that was said there. It's a really, really important subject. And in the article, I'm answering the philosopher Scott Hershovitz, who in The Guardian gave, I think, a very dangerous answer to children. And I think what we need is the much more biblical answer. We're not a blob of carbon floating from one meaningless existence to another, as Bertrand Russell says. God has set eternity in the human hearts, as Solomon says. So I talk about when we die, I talk about heaven and hell, talk about Elon Musk and AC/DC and numerous other things as well. And I think, you know, there's almost not a more important question. One of the bit of feedback I got was from somebody who said, you know, it's really good what you do and I appreciate getting news, but It's not going to convert people because they need to hear about their own sin and be convicted of sin. And I totally agree with that. I'm not here trying to convert people. What I am here trying to do is let people see that the Christian worldview is the best. But I agree with you when you wrote in and said to me about this. We need to be aware of our own sin. It's easy enough to look at other people's problems. But let me tell you, my sin is far worse than anything that I've spoken of here today. And I need to be saved, and you need to be saved, and the only way we're saved is through Jesus Christ. Look, another bit of feedback. Hi, David. Just to say I've been listening to your various podcast debates, talks over the past 9 years, and they're absolutely fantastic. Well, thank you. I've been hooked ever since a friend in my CU showed me your 2015 Free Church of Scotland moderator's address. I love the bluntness and clarity. And a question that was asked, this is from William. Do you think you can be an egalitarian with regard to ministry roles and still hold to the biblical view on marriage? Well, yes, I do think you can. Although personally, I don't like the term egalitarian, complementarian. But yes, you can. All right. I want to return to the Perth Museum, though, before I leave you. And I wrote at the end of the article, it was an article I wrote in Christian Today, which has just been published, that what's going on in the Perth Museum is a passing fad, like the trans stuff, like progressive ideology. The philosophies of this world come and go, like governments, like politicians. And a sign of that, I would suggest to you, is this. Now, you may not believe this, but you can go and see it. In 1827, in the small Highland community of Glenmoriston, a preacher called Finlay Monroe was preaching the word of God. He was getting a great deal of abuse. In today's Scotland, he'd probably be arrested for hate crime. But he responded to this abuse by saying that the very clay in which I stand will testify to the truth of my words. And he said that his footprints would last until hearers met their judgment. Or some people thought he said that until the day of judgment. But anyway, 200 years later, and I put a photograph of this on the website, you can still visit Glenmoriston and see these footprints. Now, whether or not you believe that story, the symbol of the church in Scotland is the burning bush, nictamen consumbator, burning yet not consumed. The politicians and ideology of this world will fade away, but Christ is the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, says Jesus, but my words will never pass away. So, thanks to Peter. Please feel free to review this. By the way, thanks to the podcast Irreverent, which I will do recommend and will do a review of. Three Anglican vicars who just sit around and chat about events like this. I think it's the number one current affairs Christian podcast in the UK, and deservedly so. But thanks to them for mentioning this podcast. If you want to help fund this, then go to the Podbean fundraiser. If you've got comments to make, if you want to review it and so on, if you want to review it, just go to the podcast platform you use and put a comment on there, iTunes or Podbean or whatever it is. Next week will be our 300th episode. We've had over a million downloads, and I'm going to celebrate, if you want to put it that way, by doing something I've been meaning to do for a long, long time, and that's take on the tricky subject of euthanasia. So see you next week for that. Extremely important. If you're a Christian, value your prayers as I continue to prepare to deal with that. And we're going to go back to Hungary. We're going to go to the composer Haydn and the creation. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Psalm 19, the wonder of his work displays the firmament. I love this, in all the lands resounds the word, never unperceived, ever understood. Yeah, God's word endures forever. Not the passing philosophies of this world. If you're a Christian, be encouraged by that. If you're not a Christian, you need to find out about it. See you next week. Bye. That is gone to following night, the night that is gone to following night.
the sea ever understood, never understood.